The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunday Worship with the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are a principle-based, liberal, welcoming faith community located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania, and on the web at tpuuf.org. And this morning, thanks to telecommunication devices and the internet, we're right where you are, inside the comfort of your home. We extend a special welcome to visitors this morning. We invite you to fill out the virtual visitor's card. A link to that card will appear in our Zoom chat box. I'm Jerry Lazzaro, and I chair the worship committee here at the Thomas Paine Fellowship. And it's my pleasure and honor to lead our fellowship in worship this Thanksgiving weekend, 2020. Several days ago, we celebrated Thanksgiving Day. Now, I suspect for most of us, this Thanksgiving lacked some of the camaraderie and ritual of our typical Thanksgiving celebrations. And of course, dampening the celebratory nature of this national holiday are the clouds of anxiety and uncertainty, sadness and madness, grief and loss that we and others are experiencing, not just because of the COVID-19 pandemic ravaging our country, but also because of deep divisions in our country. And of course, the ignorance, negligence, and callousness of some national leaders who have exacerbated the hardship, suffering, and death we see all around us. Yet, I do hope we still may embrace the essential practice extolled in this holiday, namely being thankful, experiencing gratitude for all that is our lives. Why is this practice so essential? Because experiencing and expressing gratitude is fundamentally a life-affirming spiritual practice. It's one we Unitarian Universalists engage in to embrace the human dimensions of our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. It's a time-tested, assured way to encourage spiritual growth in our congregations, in ourselves. More about the spiritual foundation of gratitude later in the service. For now, those of you who've been around this fellowship for a while will recall that on Thanksgiving weekend for the past several years, we've focused on some particular aspect of our lives to be grateful for. This year, we're called on to be grateful for healers. This focus seems especially timely and important as every day we hear stories of healers and helpers on the front lines of the pandemic, healthcare workers, first responders, and other vital service providers. Their stories recount the stress, frustration, exhaustion, and grief as lines of people seeking food relief lengthen, as hospitals fill to capacity. And far too often, despite best efforts to care for patients, many, many patients do not recover. And we also want to take this occasion to recognize that our universe of healers extends well beyond healthcare professionals. It includes all those whose skill, kindness, compassion, and generosity provide a healing presence in our lives. We'll have a chance to appreciate what it means to be a healing presence later in our service, when several members of our fellowship acknowledge and thank healers in their lives. Consider what we may learn from them as we seek to heal ourselves and others and a troubled world. So again, we welcome all this morning, whoever you are, from wherever you've come, wherever you may be on your life's journey. Whatever you must in conscience truly responsibly believe, however you identify or express your gender, whomever you love, whoever loves you, We welcome you to worship this morning, beginning with the lighting of our chalice. And I'll ask Allison Perry now to light our chalice and to recite our chalice lighting words.
The chalice and the flame together form the symbol of our free faith. We light our chalice with these words. This morning we light our chalice in gratitude for healers. Its flame burns not only for those who relieve our physical suffering, but also for those who ease and nourish our minds and spirits. We all have, at times, felt broken, less than whole, missing a piece or part of ourselves. How blessed and grateful we are for those whose skill, kindness, compassion, and commitment help relieve our suffering and reconnect us with ourselves and with the human family. Those who help make us whole again. Their healing presence shines through darkest hours and lights our way forward as we seek to heal others whose lives we touch, whose touch our lives. And now Preston Lukewiler will light our peace lamp.
And now I will light the peace lamp. You will repeat after me and with all the people of the world. May peace be with us and with all the people of the world.
And now let's join in singing our gathering song. This song features a melody that for centuries has served as the setting for songs of thanksgiving. Our version this morning features words compatible with our UU faith. Our very own Christine Perry, accompanied by Isaac Strader, will lead us in song. The lyrics will appear on a slide on your screen. Please join Christine in singing hymn number 349, We Gather Together. My drive home from Newtown, PA, where I spent Thanksgiving with my son and his family, I noticed many signs, even billboards along the highway, expressing thanks to healthcare workers on the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic. One billboard featured a photo of healthcare providers in scrubs and exam coats, one with a stethoscope wrapped around her neck. The caption read, "Not all superheroes wear capes." Perhaps you've seen footage of doctors and nurses breaking down as they describe the plight of patients suffering and dying with no family or friends to comfort them. Perhaps you've heard them express helplessness and despair as they witness suffering they cannot alleviate and death they cannot prevent. If you want to get a good sense of the toll this takes on healthcare workers, go online to the CNN website and type in the heading, "Minneapolis doctor wipes away tears in describing COVID-19's toll on hospital workers." I'll enter that title in our chat box so you can refer to it later today. So now, as much as ever, if not more than ever, we should feel grateful for their efforts and appreciate the work they do, even when their best efforts cannot cure, let alone heal, those in their care. On your screen now, you will see a photo taken by a paramedic outside a hospital in Southern California. The photo captures the anguish of an ER doctor grieving the loss of his 19-year-old patient. Many physicians and nurses posted responses to the photo. One doctor wrote, "I know what that person is feeling. Yesterday, one of my 17-month-old patients died. I was in the bathroom crying in private between patients several times yesterday. I've cried in stairwells and hallways. It eats at you. Life is very fragile, and the pain of losing those we are trying to help becomes a scar that doesn't go away. It has shaped who I am as a person." Yes, yes, in spite of all good faith and valiant efforts, patients don't always survive. We immediately feel compassion for the family and friends of the deceased. But how often do we consider the grief of the caregivers on whose watch that patient died? I can tell you that that consideration didn't immediately cross my mind when I received word that Sally Bertolazzi, our beloved, faithful, long-standing friend and fellowship member, succumbed to COVID this past Tuesday. About all I could do was take some measure of my own sense of loss. My heart is heavy, as I know yours is, with the weight of this most recent loss of a member of our fellowship. I haven't even yet taken account of the many ways I will miss her. I do want you to know that I've confirmed with Reverend Piers that a memorial service for Sally will be held online this coming Saturday, December 5th at 1 p.m. Please keep watch for notice of the service and a web link to it on our website and our web vine and on social media. For now, let's observe a moment of silence in her memory, after which a musical meditation will allow us a little more time to summon memories of her and to hold her closely in our hearts. In our worship service last week, Reverend Larry Pierce discussed healing and contrasted it with curing. He encouraged us to think of healing as an ongoing, extensive process that engages the whole person, the mind, the body, the spirit. Healing as a holistic practice, he explained, requires presence, attentiveness, judgment, kindness, and responsibility, caring. Curing may heal wounds and alleviate symptoms of our trauma and distress, but healing makes us whole again. Healing connects us to ourselves, to others, and to the interdependent web of all existence. Did you know that the words heal, healthy, whole, and holy, H-O-L-Y, all derive from the same ancient source, share the same proto-Germanic root? This common origin testifies to what degree these words reflect aspects of the healing experience. To heal is to mend, to make whole again. When we are whole, at one again, in mind, body, and spirit, we can better respond to our own felt needs and the needs of others. Respond in ways that promote health and a sense of well-being, regardless of the stresses and distresses we may experience. A whole self, that is a self unified in mind, body, and spirit, is more likely to be a holy, an H-O-L-Y self. A self that opens fully to experience the wonder and mystery of the creative world. A self willing and able to express gratitude. When we accept this holistic view of healing, we can see how healing is at base a spiritual process. And we can clearly see that healers aren't only those dedicated to curing illness and disease. Healers can be friends, family members, ministers, fellow congregation members, neighbors, even strangers who take time to listen, understand, and show compassion, perhaps extend a kindness. All of which helps to restore the self, to rebuild our trust in human nature, and to reaffirm our connectedness to others and to the interdependent web of all existence. From this perspective, we can sense that acknowledging and expressing gratitude for the healers we have encountered on our life's journey is a spiritual practice. And it highlights the importance of learning from these healers, how to heal ourselves, others, our earth, and our communities. Which brings us to the present moment. This morning, we're graced by members of our fellowship who will share memories of healers in their lives. We hear first from Dorothy Tarka.
A few years ago, I thought I pulled a muscle while gardening. Rather uncharacteristically, I made a doctor's appointment, and after having a chest x-ray, I was immediately directed to the nearest hospital to get a CAT scan, which revealed a sizable ascending aortic aneurysm. Since time was of the essence, I set about finding an experienced cardiothoracic surgeon. Luckily, I was able to contact my late husband's niece, a Penn-trained cardiologist. Liz's first recommendation to do the surgery at Penn was leaving to deliver a paper in Europe, which led me to Plan B and Dr. Prashams, and this is a mouthful, Vallabhadrachula, MD, otherwise known as Dr. V, who performed the successful open heart surgery. I could not have been more pleased with Dr. V, who in addition to being a skilled surgeon, was caring and attentive. In my various consults with Dr. V, I never felt hurried. He made direct eye contact with me and patiently answered my questions about anything. Additionally, I felt that Dr. V treated me as a human being, and he laser focused on listening, explaining, and responding to my concerns. I had been around other trained specialists and oncologists who were, you know, highly successful and very skilled, but I never felt the depth of caring and concern that Dr. V showed when I was in his office. He focused on me as a whole person, and I view him as a healer in the best sense of the word. A healer who responded to both the humanity and physical issues of the patient. Additionally, I usually had a friend or brother accompany me on my appointments with Dr. V, and he was always gracious and courteous, addressing the concerns of my family members or friends. Appointments with Dr. V never felt rushed. I could not have been more pleased with Dr. V's skill and the care he devoted to this patient. Amazing surgeon skills and bedside manner. And as a PS, on one of my appointments, a friend went with me and she asked Dr. V for the name, a recommendation for a cardiologist. And he gave her the name of another Penn cardiologist who she went to see. And when she went to see him, he immediately admitted her to the hospital because she had a heart attack that she didn't know about. And she was a nurse. So it seems that Dr. V helped me and helped a friend at the same time. And I'm always grateful to him for what he did and how he did it.
Thank you so much, Dorothy. Caring, attentiveness, listening, expressing humanity, being willing to extend oneself to help the whole self. So much important. Next, we're going to hear from David Drum. Again, this has to do pretty much with a physical condition that he experienced. But as you'll see from his discussion, there was so much more involved in his healing. And it involved to an extent, to a very great extent, the faith community.
Thank you, Jerry. After I officially joined Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in 2012, I sustained a mystery illness in late 2013 and all of 2014. Members of our fellowship were very supportive of me during that time. The Board of Trustees, Vice President Adele McDaniel, who was also chair of the care committee, then came to my rescue in 2014. Also the now retired home health care aide, Cleo Gray Partington, was there to assist me regularly for all of 2015. Both were trained at the Einstein Lymphedema Clinic. I received frequent telephone call inquiries from then Minister Reverend Bryant Brown, inquiring into my well-being. This past year, 2020, I was once again beset with serious illness. Reverend Larry Pierce has telephoned me inquiring into my health circumstances. The current care committee chair, Catherine Stola-Gross, telephones me regularly asking about progress in my treatment. Member Philip Manaus has been driving me in my truck once weekly or biweekly to see the doctor at the Einstein Wound Care Clinic in Plymouth Meeting since early September. I regularly receive email inquiries from Board of Trustees President Linda Weaver and other members. The Thomas Paine UU Fellowship has been very supportive of me these past 9 years. The theme of today's November 29th, 2020 Thanksgiving weekend service is Let UUs All Be Grateful for Healers. My focus today is on my neighbor across the hallway here at Westover Harbor Condominiums in Jeffersonville. My neighbor's name is Brunhilde Rotanoff Portnov. Up until last Christmas 2019, Brunhilde resided for half the year in her condominium in the Rhine Valley of Germany and half the year in her condominium here in Norristown. My drum ancestors are from that area of Germany, having emigrated to the New World in 1709 or 1710. Back in October 2019, I stepped on a piece of broken glass in my kitchen, which ultimately caused an infection on the bottom of my left foot. After spending 5 days and four nights an inpatient at Einstein East Norriton, I needed help with daily bandage changes. My neighbor from across the hall stepped up and volunteered to assist with this matter. Brunhilde had previously assisted her late husband with this similar problems with neuropathy. By the end of the year, I was discharged from the Einstein Wound Care Center and Brunhilde was off to Germany for the Christmas holiday. This past spring, I developed an infection on the bottom of my right foot. In early summer, I was back at the Einstein Wound Care Clinic, and once again, my neighbor, Brunhilde, came to my rescue when needed. This time, I had Einstein visiting nurse services 3 times a week, starting in July. Lead nurse Suzanne Giunizelli trained Brunhilde regarding the particular technique just in case she was needed in an emergency situation. By late August, I was back in the hospital due to complications, once again staying 5 days and 4 nights. After a week in rehab in Norristown, I found myself tethered to a wound vac device. Once again, my neighbor could be available if needed in between visiting nurse appointments. Brunhilde and I would communicate on Messenger within Facebook. I would ask Brunhilde if she might be available at some time on a particular day, and she would reply, "I will be at your door now." Back on my birthday in late July, my friend and former coworker from the Norristown Area Census Bureau, Charlie Millman, came by to visit and have a meal with me. The fellowship may remember Charlie's presence at one of our Zoom services on Sunday before the election earlier this month. I had introduced my friend to Brunhilde previously. During his college years, Charlie spent time living and studying in Frankfurt, Germany. He had pleasant conversation with Brunhilde, and she thought he spoke very fluent German. Charlie was very much aware of my neighbor's kindness to me. He once mentioned to me that there is a word in Yiddish which best describes my neighbor. The Hebrew word mensch, M-E-N-S-C-H, doesn't sound like a nice word, but it is a noun which means a person of integrity and honor, or, as Charlie stated to me, a good person. I am very grateful for my neighbor Brunhilde and her caring manner to help me without hesitation when needed for so very long during the course of two illnesses. Thank you.
Thank you, David. As you can see, the healers extend well beyond those who are healthcare workers and providers. The healers are the beloved community, our friends, our neighbors, our fellow congregation members who care, who are willing to pitch in and help us when we need them. Thank you so much, David. Next, we'll hear from Gina Mastrangeli. Gina?
A year and a half ago, one morning, I stepped out of bed and a searing pain radiated from my left foot to my ankle, through my calf, and up to my left hip. 2 months later, after a roundabout of self-care, physicians, and physical therapy, my pain had worsened to the point that every morning I had to give myself a pep talk just to get out of bed and stand. Out of desperation and a good recommendation from a nurse, I checked out another physical therapy center. My first words to my new physical therapist were, "I need some tender, loving care. I've been a mother, a daughter, a teacher. Now it's my turn." Dr. Rob took me into his examining room. He asked explicit questions to determine the nature of my pain. He assessed my movement, what I could and could not do without pain. He measured my body for symmetry and proportional abnormalities. Then he concluded that I had a herniated disc in my lower back. He patiently answered my long list of questions scribbled on scrap paper. He instructed me how to sit properly, pick objects up from the floor, and correctly change positions from standing to sitting to supine. The next appointment, when I brought my x-ray, he told me he didn't need it. He used test results only to confirm his diagnosis. He learned by listening to his patients. They tell him what is wrong. Devoting personal care to each of his patients was so important to Rob that he took a risk. He left his directorship position at another physical therapy center to set up his own business. Now he could dedicate 1 hour to one patient at a time. Instead of writing on the computer while the patients talked, as pressured by the chain PT centers, he preferred to look at his patients, listen, and carefully assess. I also noticed during the times before and after my sessions, while I observed Rob's interaction with other patients, he tailored his therapy to their injury, obviously, but also to their temperament, their skill level, their life situation, their values. For example, he respected my preference to heal naturally, no medications, no steroid injections. Yet, for some people, because of their life situation, as he explained to me, benefited from medicinal support. His nothing less than 5-star reviews on the internet are a testament to Rob's approach to physical therapy and people. Now, when someone takes time to get to know you, accept you without judgment, and give you learned expertise adapted for the unique you, this is fertilizer for the soul. soil too, yeah. At the time, I was also in a really bad place emotionally. And my emotional pain and my physical pain fed each other. Although I never discussed my emotional problems with Rob, my physical therapy sessions that were focused solely on me grounded me. This in turn relaxed my mind so that I could better apply lessons that I learned in physical therapy to healing emotionally, not just physically. For example, in physical therapy, Rob taught me the proper way to exercise, body awareness, and anatomy, the tools and knowledge needed to help myself. I could stop being a helpless victim and become an active participant in my own healing. And this helped me realize that I could also be an active participant in my own emotional healing. Another lesson that Rob taught me was to respect my pain. Don't do anything that hurts, he advised. For me, excellent advice. My attitude, why should I stop running just because it hurts, did more damage. As for emotional pain, that also needs to be respected, not denied. Furthermore, throughout my physical therapy sessions, as I slowly began to heal, I better appreciated that healing is a process. Rob often remarked, the body heals itself with time. We just nudge it. This reinforced upon me that healing, whether it be physical or emotional, takes time and continuous work. And sometimes we backslide. Last summer, confident that my back was strong, I lifted heavy furniture. Big mistake, but one can learn from mistakes and backslides. But my biggest takeaway from my physical therapy experience came from Rob's parting words. You will need to manage your back for the rest of your life. My life had changed. No returning to my days with a healthy back. I needed to adapt. This also applies to my experiences with emotional pain. My experiences were not going to disappear, but over time, I can learn to live with it, transform it, and in a sense, heal so that I can become the person that I want to be in my life story. I could just say so much more, but my time is up.
Thank you so much, Gina. There's so much in there for us to take away in terms of how we can heal ourselves by accepting that we are hurting, by understanding that healing is not an instantaneous, immediate response to the hurt, and to think about how we can be more attentive to ourselves and to manage what we're doing in our minds as well as with our bodies. Thank you so much. Next, we have this morning with us Deb Murata, who is going to share some observations about healers who she has encountered.
I tend to dwell on things all the time. And I have a very dear friend, Debbie Snyder, who has known me since I was 9 years old. And we've known each other for years. And she knows that that I dwell on the past a lot, and I revisit old hurts and everything. She sent me a poster that I hold dear. It says, "It is not a life sentence. It's a life. It's a life lesson, not a life sentence." And I realized because of that, oh yeah, I'm living as if this was a sentence, you know, like all the stuff from the past is just plaguing me and, but it's a life lesson. So if I look at it that way, yeah, I learned from that. Okay, that happened. And this is what I learned from it. So I just appreciate her so much. She's a good listener. She's sympathetic. She's empathetic. And I just, it's a life lesson, not a life sentence, is the greatest thing, greatest gift for me. That's that.
Thank you, Deb. You also had mentioned Sharon Warner and said that when you talk with her and tell her a problem that you're having, she says, I get it. And it makes you feel less alone to know that someone empathizes with you. And there was Peter Bertini, who'll say, maybe what you think isn't
it, right?
What you think isn't what it is, right? Perspective,
right?
Seeing the other side. Mm-hmm. Like when you're in a car waiting for traffic to pass, you can make your turn. There's a car behind you. You start making up stories about what the driver's thinking. He's probably cursing me out. You know, think what's
and
wrong.
That's probably not even the case. That's probably not even the case at all. Yeah, I didn't want to. Like I said, time and everything. I didn't know if you wanted to hear all that, but that was important too. Their perspective. Keep your perspective. See another person's perspective. Maybe there's another perspective you don't even know. And
okay, thank you so much, Deb.
You're welcome.
All right. If you are familiar with the psychological literature, you said that the greatest stress a person could experience in life is the distress of losing a spouse. And our final speaker this morning, Kay Stoulegrass, is going to share her experience following the death of her husband. Kay?
It took a village to help me heal. 14 years ago, my husband Jack died as the result of a bicycle accident. My five sons and their families immediately came from across the United States and from the other side of the Atlantic. During the difficult 2 weeks from the accident to the memorial service, my church, the Unitarian Universalist Society of Oneonta, New York, sprang into action. They, my neighbors, and the greater Oneonta community provided meals and shelter for the 17 of us. Coincidentally, one of the families that was there for me is with us today. Grace and Duncan Smith moved here to Meadowood last week, and I'm sure they will be joining us at Thomas Paine often. After the service, my sons arranged for someone to be with me for the 6 weeks until Thanksgiving. Then most of us gathered at my son John's home in Downingtown. We had no idea that one day I would move to this area. After Thanksgiving dinner, I drove home alone to an empty house. A few weeks later, I met Charles King, who was fairly new to the church and to Oneonta. We became wonderful friends. I made it clear I was not interested in a romantic relationship. He honored this, and for the next 12 years, stopped by to chat with me or to fix something that I would have relied on Jack to do. In addition to mending things, we took long walks, shared cups of coffee, and had long conversations. Other times, we worked together cleaning the fish pond in my backyard. Our friendship continues. He is married, and he and his wife have visited me 3 times here at Meadowood. Our last conversation was 3 days ago on Thanksgiving. So why am I telling you this ordinary tale of life in a small town? Today, we're talking about healing. And sometimes that means sharing profound insights or meaningful ideas. I don't think such insights were a part of my recovery. It was the actions and friendly conversations with Charles and the community who put their arms around me, physically and virtually, and so helped me out of a dark place and helped me heal my grief and move on to a full, meaningful life.
Thank you so much, Kay. You know, there's so much to take away from this. As I was listening, I said, I'm glad we're recording this service so I can go back and listen to these accounts again and take away what I can to understand the healing process better myself and to be more of a healer in the lives of others. I mean, certain things that stood out, obviously, were how the healing is a process involving the beloved community. All those who surround us with their caring, with their compassion, with their acts of kindness. And that certainly is something that That's a lesson that we can never, ever, ever allow ourselves to forget. And now it's time in our service for matters of the heart. We always leave time in our service for those who are experiencing a joy, lifting their spirits up, or a sorrow, weighing their spirits down, to bring that joy or sorrow to the to the light of this faith community, or if choose to share some gleaning from the words that they have heard spoken this morning. So now we're going to open it up for matters of the heart after a brief musical interlude, and then Mike McNeil will explain how you can participate in matters of the heart this morning. To everyone for sharing your experiences. I mean, it reinforced so much, like I said earlier, the fact that, you know, healers are the entire beloved community, our friends, our neighbors, our family members, our ministers, even strangers, right, Adele, who show compassion, who can see us as people and recognize what our needs are and respond to them in ways that reinforce our belief in human nature and connect us to others and to the interdependent web of all existence. We're going to extinguish our chalice this morning, and I leave you with a prayer for healing crafted by Reverend John L. Saxon, Assistant Minister of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Raleigh, North Carolina. And I'll ask Allison to extinguish the chalice with these words. May we live with greater compassion and care for ourselves, others, and creation. May we touch each other more deeply, hear each other more clearly, and see each other's joys and sorrows as our own. May we strive to be and become more than we are, more loving, more forgiving, more kind, more honest, more open, more connected, more whole. May we heal and be healed. May we face the uncertainties and tragedies of life with hope, faith, and courage, knowing that life is good and that we are not alone. We'll close our service this morning by singing a simple song of thanksgiving for this time we've spent together and for this precious day. Christine Perry, again accompanied by Isaac Strader, will lead us in singing our closing song, Hymn 1010, Oh, We Give Thanks. We'll sing the single verse of this song three times. The words will appear on your screen. And while our service will end with the singing of Oh, We Give Thanks, please remain with us for important announcements regarding programs and activities at the Thomas Paine UU Fellowship, followed by an informal time of sharing online. And we invite all, visitors included, Kay's friends, to join our virtual social gathering conversation. And we remind visitors, if they wish to complete the virtual visitor's card accessed through the chat function in Zoom. We'll see you in a few.
Oh, we give thanks for this precious day. For all gathered here and those far away, for day. Oh, we give thanks for this precious day. Precious day, oh, we give thanks.